My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
How about that time? Hour number two, taking you up to noon. And D'Lo and KC will be in the building. And then we'll take you up till 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Hey, before we go around the NBA looking at the scoreboard last night, Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
He has been part of many of our conversations recently with the discussion about Keon Ellis starting and what does that look like and da da da. I don't want to necessarily do that because I think our feelings on it are they're out there. People know what it is, and if people have thoughts on it, maybe those thoughts changed after Saturday night. But Keon played 29 minutes off the bench. Kevin Huerter played 16 minutes. He goes 0 for 3 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, a rebound, a couple assists. Somebody in the chat at the break asked an interesting question, and I would like to dive into their angle on it more than I would like to dive into another discussion of, hey, the Kings should put Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, because like I said, we've all kind of given our thoughts on that. So what did you see at the break?
Yeah, so Tom said, is Huerter a negative contract at this point, considering the season he's had? Bill Simmons and his crew listed his contract as a dishonorable mention in the NBA worst contract pod. Like, first of all, Bill Simmons is a fan. Like, let's not get that, like, mistaken. He's a basketball fan. He's not a he's a media personality, but he's not a media member, as in he interviews people and goes into a locker room and all that stuff. Is Kevin Huerter a negative contract? Absolutely not. No, the Kings will have no problems trading Kevin Huerter this summer if that's what they choose to do. Like, look, I will continue to say this. If you had a long, athletic, defensive, small forward next to Kevin Huerter to disguise some of his weaknesses, it would make him look different as a player. It just would. I would also say, if Kevin Huerter wasn't in a starting five, that all five players are predominantly offensive weapons, not defensive-minded players. Keegan Murray is developing as a defensive-minded player. He's always going to be an offensive player who plays really good defense, not a defensive player who happens to play a little offense.
Mm-hmm.
Got me? Like, if you had four offensive players and one defensive stalwart in your starting five, it would free up extra shots for the other guys. It would make things look smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, I mean, at this point, Mike Brown has to be looking at. Mm-hmm. So whether Kevin Huerter, like part of the reason why Kevin Huerter isn't having a successful season is situational. If you put him on a team that needs a three-point shooter, mm-hmm. that needs a Kyle Korver type player, that needs one of those people, there's a very good chance that Kevin Huerter goes right back to being that ace that you had last season. And I think people forget that last year, as a 24-year-old like starting shooting guard at 6'7", Kevin Huerter was the third leading scorer on this team. He was a huge piece to what the Kings were doing. Mm-hmm. The fact is that things change and that players develop alongside you, and De'Aaron Fox takes more shots, and Domantas Sabonis has taken one or two more shots, and then Keegan Murray has taken a couple more shots. Next thing you know, Kevin Huerter is needed less and less and less for what he does well. And then when you're not allowed to do what you do well, and the things that you don't do well stand out a whole lot more. And realistically, if Kevin Huerter was still averaging 15 points and knocking down 41% from three, no one would have a problem with the fact that he isn't an elite defensive player.
Right, but that's the problem, is yeah. he's not making his shots at the rate he needs to be making them to be valuable.
Oh, I'm not sitting here saying that Kevin Huerter should start, but I'm also going to tell you that you have a starting shooting guard that's averaging 2.5 less shots per game than he was last year.
Yes.
Like it's,
and five fewer minutes than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting the same opportunities, the same reps. And so when he's not hitting, it looks worse than it was the year before. Again, you're dropping 1.4 three-point attempts off his number from last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting the same looks. He's not getting the same reps. And that's okay. That's, the team is organically growing in a different way than
right.
the Kevin Huerter.
But he's also shooting 21% below his career average.
From the field?
From three. Not 21%.
2.1.
Point 2.1. Thank you.
Yeah, 2%.
Yeah,
sorry. 2% less.
Decimals, am I right?
Yeah. Are you right? He's also shooting 4% less than he was last year. And yeah. again, if Kevin Huerter's shooting 38%, I don't think people are even complaining about that. The fact that it just feels like something's off is a problem.
And it has been all year, too. I think that's the other aspect of this.
Yeah, this isn't new. It's not new. And he got knocked off kilter early in the year. And to be honest with you, at some point, it's got to be about that. It's got to be that Kevin talked about this the other day. He's got to deal better with adversity.
That's that right there.
Yes, he does.
Is above all else. That is the number one thing that I come back to with Kevin Huerter specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is tough because it's such a personal thing and everybody's different with this. There are some people who would take being benched in the preseason and go, all right, double birds to everybody. Watch me have a career year.
Yeah.
And some guys, this is how I am. I relate to Kevin Huerter in this way. When that happens, if something like that happens to me, I get bummed. It's like, oh man, what am I doing wrong? And now you're thinking about it, and all these things that you used to just do second nature, all of a sudden you're thinking about it. So me and Huerter like this in that way.
Yeah, and that's where I'm totally different. I'm a run through a brick wall guy.
Sure.
Like, I don't care.
Sure.
Like, yeah, so, like I'm gonna do whatever it is, and I'm gonna right. like, you'll remember that I was there.
Right. Everybody's wired differently in that.
Yeah, totally.
And that is one of my big things with Kevin Huerter is like, dude, if this is how this is going to be, if adversity that you're going through leads to you being benched or your role being changed, that's going to lead you to be worse. Well, like, bro, I don't know that starting shooting guard on the NBA championship, on the NBA champion Sacramento Kings is like his future. And if that's going to be a problem, if maybe it's coming off the bench for that team, if that's going to be a problem, then like you're not built for it.
Okay,
go be elsewhere then.
This is also like we're at a point right now where everyone sees what's happening, and it's become like everyone's talking about it, and mm-hmm. like you can watch every single one of these guys watch into a press conference. All of them are scrolling on their phones.
Oh, 1,000%.
Every single one of them is reading what's happening.
He's locked into the Odyssey app listening to this right now.
I like for Kevin's own sanity, mm-hmm. for me, I honestly think that the best thing for him and the best thing for the Kings right now would be for him to say, hey, like, look, I'm not having a great season. I get it. But I also understand where we're going and what we need right now as a team. I would like to, if it's okay, I would like to go to the second unit because at this point, right now, today, with Trey Lyles out of action, we need more pop on that second unit. Is cool. there a way that I can go to the second unit for right now?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we revisit this in the offseason, but for right now, let me get right on the second team. Let me get right with more shot opportunities, with more of a focus of me as an offensive player. Can we work that out? And that would be, I think, for me, the best thing that could happen to the Kings. Keon Ellis is playing out of his mind. Like, well, the fact that Jalen Brunson got loose, I don't care. What he did to D'Angelo Russell and Damian Lillard the previous two games is crazy. Like, right now, he's the right fit for the team. And it's because when you take away, you just go back to, and it's not even a Kevin Huerter thing. Go back to the two games of back-to-back against the Bucks and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
One game, Keegan Murray sat. And with Keon Ellis in the lineup, Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes all of a sudden look like Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in the first quarter, they're dueling banjos. They hit like six threes between the two of them, right? Mm-hmm. That's because there's more to go around. Keon mm-hmm. Ellis is out there doing dirty work. He's out there moving into positions to make him where he's comfortable. He's not worrying about having plays run for him. He's okay standing in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the next night. He comes back into the game. Kevin Huerter goes out. Again, Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes. Boom, they blow mm-hmm. up. It's not a coincidence. It's that having five offensive players in the starting lineup is one of the reasons why we keep saying, no, they should not start Malik Monk. Malik Monk is in a perfect role for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. If you can, you need someone on the bench to step up and score alongside Malik Monk at this point. I don't care who it is that goes to the bench. And Mike even said, like Keon has something to prove before I make a decision to replace Kevin or Keegan or Harrison in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, like half this, like 40 games ago, half the people out there on social media were calling for Harrison Barnes mm-hmm. to be out of the starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Without any replacement, Harrison yeah. Barnes got to go.
Right.
Okay, that's, now we just shifted gears.
On social media and this show.
Now it's Kevin Huerter. You know, sure. now Kevin Huerter's the guy who's getting sort of beaten down. And for me, like, look, this thing will work itself out. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, the Kings really need a second scorer on the bench. Somebody should raise their hand and say, hey, with Trey out, let me help out.
Yeah.
It's an easy out, Kyle.
Right there with you. All right. We'll have keys to a Kings victory tonight. We'll take a look around the NBA scoreboard. And I want to revisit our when should we start believing in the Kings discussion.
Yeah.
Because Saturday night made that really interesting. We got a lot coming up here in the next 45 minutes on ESPN 1320. I am Kyle Madsen. He is James Hamm. They are the Sacramento Kings, and they are a Golden 1 center tonight taking on the Grizzlies of Memphis. Last home game before they hit the road for a three-game swing to Toronto, Washington, and Orlando. And James, this is the stretch of games that we've talked about, man. This is Memphis, Toronto, Washington, Orlando, and a Philly team that is very much going the wrong direction. That's five games that are all eminently winnable. The Kings are better than all five of those teams.
Yeah, there's an eight-game stretch here, Kyle, that mm-hmm. to me, you just circle and say, this is it.
This is the one.
If you want to be a player, if you want to be a team that's in the playoff picture,
mm-hmm.
I need 6-2. I need 7-1.
Yeah, because there's those five, and then two against Dallas and one against Utah. And those two against Dallas are huge because you could effectively put Dallas out of the 6-7 seed picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's enormous.
No, you can control your own destiny right now. And then you have to look, the last eight games
mm-hmm.
are just brutal. And it's going to be a bloodbath for these guys. I mean, It's not good. It's Clippers, Knicks, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Pelicans, Suns, with the Blazers to finish.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's going to be tough. Like, again, we talk about going 6-2 right here. That could be a 2-6. And so finishing 500 here, like from here on out, is going to be tough, man. You got to be focused every game.
A 3 games and 5 nights trip where you go New York, Boston the next night.
Back to back.
And then back to Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Oof. That's a tough scheduling.
Brooklyn's not playing well, so that's one thing.
No, I know, but I figured it'd be easier if you went New York, Brooklyn, back to back, night off, then hit Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what do I know?
No, it's wild. It's wild.
But it starts tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies, and this to me, I've hesitated calling games like must wins. Just since the All-Star break for the Kings, it's been like, yeah, these are ostensibly playoff games. For more or less, you need to just stack up wins however you can get them. Style points don't matter anymore. Just you gotta get wins. You cannot lose this game tonight.
No, I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies are 23-45 on the season. They're a bad team with no players. Like, we can do an injury report for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's literally everybody.
It's quicker to just name who's not on it.
Yes.
Here's who's not injured for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the injury list for them for tonight's game, mm-hmm. it literally looks like a Costco receipt or a CVS receipt. Like, you're just like, it just keeps going. Look how much paper they wasted.
Why is there a jar of peanut butter pretzels on here?
Exactly. You're like, why is like two guys out? Why are you out twice?
That is a reasonably priced air mattress.
That is. Yeah, so Brandon Clark out, Luke Kennard out, John Morant out, Scottie Pippen Jr. out, Derrick Rose out, Marcus Smart out, Lamar Stevens out, Yuta Watanabe out, Vince Williams Jr., he's doubtful, Zaire Williams out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys are listed as out with one doubtful. A tenth, 10 guys are out
more
or
than half
doubtful.
Their roster, including two-way guys.
Yeah, an NBA roster is 18 players with two-way players.
That is, so they have a maximum of 8, and probably half of those guys have spent at least a little time in the G League this year.
Well, that, and they have been able to get some injury replacements, because when a player is out long-term, you can get a roster exemption.
Right.
And that's what they've been able to get. But yeah, this isn't a good team. That doesn't mean they can't beat you.
I'm not even going to go so far as to say, and we'll have keys to a Kings victory here coming up. I'm not even going to go so far as to say you need to blow them out. I don't care how you win. Win 101 to 100. I don't care. You can't leave Golden 1 Center tonight with a loss. I don't care what it looks like. I don't. You got to win.
No, I mean, that's it. Like, you've got to a point where you've put yourself in a situation. And again, the Kings are 10 games over 500.
No, they're not. This is all about the getting into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And avoiding the play-in. That's all that matters here.
And that's what I think the Kings have to look at this 8-game stretch mm-hmm. as, like, the whole ball of wax.
That's it.
This is it. Like, show up every night. Put your best foot forward, and if, especially at home, if you can come away with a win here, it starts you out on the right foot with this little 8-game stretch here.
Yeah, and to me, we can talk about this as we go. We talk about the 8 games, but those 2 against the Mavericks are ones you have to win. You can't go 6-2 in that stretch and lose twice to the Mavs.
Well,
and have it be okay.
Yeah, I mean,
but like I said, we can cross that bridge when we get there.
If you did that,
let's get to our keys.
You're gonna you're gonna secure yourself as a playoff team, as a play-in team, without any question. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you're gonna separate yourself and be one of the top 6 guys.
Yep. All right, let's get to keys very quickly here. What is your first key to a Kings victory tonight, James?
Punch first. Yeah. This is a weak team, mm-hmm. but they have NBA players. Mm-hmm. Punch first. Don't stop punching.
Mm-hmm.
20-point win. Just win, but a 20-point win.
So here's my first key, piggybacks off of that. Can't let off the gas. You might get up 20. Then the next step, go up 30. That has to, that if you're going to win tonight, that has to, like I said, I don't care how they do it necessarily, but if you let off the gas against this Grizzlies team, I think Taylor Jenkins does a good job as a coach. They're going to keep fighting. And they will claw their way back into a game, so you got to keep your foot on the gas. All 48, hard 48.
Yep.
Number two.
Let the offense loose. The Grizzlies are 30th in points per game. If you score 120 on these guys, I don't think they can match it. Just go.
Yeah.
Score.
Yep. Especially with the way the Kings have been playing defense lately. I want to talk about that in a bit, too.
Okay.
Second key for me, this isn't really a key. It's just something I want to say. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is kind of fraudulent. He is an NBA center, a reigning defensive player of the year who has as many three-point attempts per game as rebounds per game.
That's wild.
That's silly. I don't think he's that good of a player. Expose him. Number three.
Three ball is coming. The Grizzlies are fifth in attempts and 30 in makes.
Hey, shoot or shoot, man.
Yeah, you have to defend it because you're the Kings.
Yep.
And because people hit three-pointers yep. against you.
Yep. Run them off the line.
Just know, like, the guy, Phillips, the ghost of Philip Seymour Hoffman is going to be out there saying, make it rain!
R.I.P. to our guy, PSH. Yeah, dude, you got to defend the hot guys. There's going to be some hot guys out there, and you got to make sure you defend them.
Yep.
Close out, get in their hip.
Don't give them the spray three guys. To the hot guy.
Dude, you cannot let them spray to the hot guys. Number three for me. Oh, boy. I didn't finish typing. It just says figure out.
Figure out what Kyle mm-hmm. was thinking. That is the third key.
Figure out the Grizzlies.
You listen to the insiders. Figure Thanks, out, everybody.
Figure out how to win at home. Figure out how to get up for a team that's bad.
Figure out how to play Keon Ellis 30 minutes in a game.
God, boy, that's, you know, figure out your rotations. Yeah, I don't know, something. That what a weird thing.
It's amazing.
I think I started to look up a stat, maybe.
Oh.
And then got sidetracked.
It's possible I just deleted something just to mess with you. Just to fit everything into one page.
No, I can't. I genuinely cannot remember.
I think it's like the SNL skit. Just fix it.
Yeah, just do that.
Just fix it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Game. Fix it.
Figure out winning.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's your keys to the game. Figure it out. I will come back tomorrow with a full report on whether they figured out or not.
There it is.
You're welcome. All right. For more hardcore NBA analysis, stay locked into ESPN 1320. No, we'll take a look around the league. Is now the time to start believing in the Kings, even after a loss to the Knicks. We will dive into all of that in the final segment, plus the handoff coming up. One of D'Lo and Casey will be in here. We'll be chopping it up with them as well on the Insiders.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Filled up my bracket this weekend. I filled up my bracket this weekend.
You filled out your bracket?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't. I haven't yet.
I typically try to do even like cursory research. Like I will do a little. If I don't get to watch a lot, which I haven't this year, I will do a little bit of like KenPom rankings and defensive rating, offensive rating, things of that nature.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I did none of that this year. I said, screw it. And so I just, all vibes.
I like that for you.
A lot of chalk, a lot of vibes.
I love that for you.
Yeah, it's just hard now because with the way college basketball is, you don't get to... There's not, and there really hasn't been in my lifetime, really, a lot of teams that have guys on it for 2 and 3 and 4 years,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of get a vibe or a feel for that team. Like, no, it's just kind of. And college basketball is so far off the radar for me during non-March months.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, I'll watch the hell out of it once the tournament starts, but leading up to that.
You always have to pick at least one, like 3-14 upset. And then outside of that, it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I think I have a 12-5 in there.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't do a lot of upsets.
All right.
Just Chalky McChalkerson.
Do you do a money pool or no?
Yeah, it's just a small okay. one.
Yeah, I've always done.
I don't know what's incriminating and what's not. So no, I don't.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I don't do it for money.
The subtle wink coming from you, Kyle.
Incriminate anyone.
I think you
anything.
Hurt yourself trying to wink.
What are you talking about? KT tape on my eye.
That's right. I don't know about that. Pull the whole eyelid off.
Kyle, you look different. Man.
I like this question.
Bucks and Suns. Oh, okay. You do what you were doing.
No, I do. I like this question that
okay,
you have.
Great.
When should we believe in the Kings?
Oh, okay. We can do that. Yeah. What they've done defensively, in fact, we were just looking this up at the break. They've given up 299 points the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
The last time they gave up fewer than 300 points in a three-game stretch was May 2nd, 4th, and 5th of 2021.
Hmm.
So 3 years ago, four seasons ago. And I think that's a good sign. Playing better on the defensive end is, I think, a key if they're going to go in and win a playoff series. Like, it's about stops. I just have all the faith in their offense. I don't have any problems with what the Kings are doing offensively or what they will do offensively. Like, end of the day, if the Kings need a bucket and you need to go to the Fox Sabonis pick and roll, I trust that can get them a bucket or a Monk Sabonis pick and roll or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Their offense is not the thing to me. The thing is, can they go in a playoff series across 7 games? Can they put together enough defense against a playoff caliber offense to win 4 out of those 7 games? And if they play like they played the last three games, the answer to me is yes. But we have a much larger sample size of the answer being no. So I'm not there yet. And to me, this is believe in the Kings as a, oh, you know what? Hey, they could make a little bit. I don't think they're going to the finals. Yeah, they could win a series and scare somebody in the second round, which is kind of what I expected coming into this year. Maybe they make the conference finals if everything goes right.
Okay.
But I'm not, I can't get there yet. They're still too inconsistent for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you asked this question, like we had on the rundown last week, and and it's, if they were to beat the Knicks, would you have believed in them? And my answer is no. I actually could believe in them more after tonight's game than I could on Saturday.
Interesting. Why?
Because they just beat two really good teams. Like, whether the Lakers are great or not, like, who knows? But they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Rui Hachimura. They can put up points.
You beat the heck out of the Lakers twice in a 1 week, one and a half week span?
Yeah, but the second time, you beat them on the second night of a back-to-back after playing the Bucks in an emotional win against the Bucks. Yeah. And the Bucks had everybody, except for Middleton, which, you know, Middleton isn't
He's not making up 35 points.
Well, that, and he's not really a player at this point anyway. So, like, just because he hasn't been able to stay healthy and, you know, he's on the downswing. So, my point is that you show that you can beat the Lakers and the Bucks, and then you had another really good team. The Kings get up for really good teams. They're ready for a really good team. And the Knicks are a really good team, whether you love them or not, whether, you know, they're a team that's pacing to win 50 games. Mm-hmm. And it's not that game that scares me. It's that you now have 8 games in a row where maybe 5 of them are just should win, have to win. If you don't win, then we're right back to square one.
5 of the games are the types of games that we've come in here this year and gone, how did they lose that?
How did you? You cannot lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. You cannot lose to the Washington Wizards. Nope. Like, there are games here in front of you where the Toronto Raptors are not a good team. The Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers, are not playing well right now. The Utah Jazz are not a good team. But this Sacramento Kings team, like, they've proven time and time again this season that every time we think that they've figured it out and they're ready to get up for a bad team and run somebody over, that they can't do it. So the question that you ask, should you believe in them? You know, again, a little bit of belief tonight if they beat the Grizzlies, a little bit more belief if they beat on Wednesday, if they beat the Raptors, a lot more if they walk in and they beat the Wizards on Thursday. I don't care if it's a back-to-back. And then, you know, again, Orlando, kind of a coin toss team. You're better than them, or you're right around the same
tier. They're talented.
Talented, but that's still, you need to prove that you can go in there and win a game. And if they start doing that, they start stringing together, and all of a sudden we're looking at, let's say they win these 4 games right here in front of you, 1, 2, 3, 4. That puts you at 8-2 over your last 10.
That's great.
Bravo.
Playing your best basketball going into the postseason.
Peak now. It's okay you didn't peak before. Peak now. Yeah. Find your game now.
Yeah.
Get the offense cranking, but show that you can play defense. I think there's still time. 16 games is a long time. You build some momentum right here in this 8-game stretch. That final 8 games will take care of itself.
Yeah, you put yourself in a very, very good position to win some of those games down the stretch. Whereas if they are, and this goes to the belief that, again, they can win a first-round series and give somebody a scare in the second round and maybe even make the conference finals. That's belief to me, as I'm defining it for this question.
Okay.
And to your point, if they go, let's say, 6-2 in this stretch of games, maybe they slip up on one of their road games and they split with the Mavs. Let's just say, yeah, they lose in Orlando and they split with the Mavs. Yeah. And those two home games here at Golden 1. But you're 6-2 after those 8, and then you go in and you beat Utah to cap it. You'd feel so much better about them, like, yeah, hey, they've got the Clippers down the stretch here. They've got the Suns again. Like, you feel better about them winning those tougher games than if they go 4-4 in these 8.
You go 4-4 in those 8.
It's impossible to look at that second set of 8 games going, yeah, they can win 6 of these.
No.
So I'm with you, man. These aren't the toughest games left on their schedule, but given the ups and downs of this season, I need to see this. I know that they can beat Denver 3 out of 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they can beat the Suns. I know that they can beat the Clippers. I got all that up here. I don't know that they can consistently play well against good teams and against bad teams. I need to see that, where I can now go, hey, I know what Kings team I'm getting no matter the night.
Yeah.
And right now I don't have that. They could go into a first round series and it would be like, sure, maybe they go to 7 games with the Nuggets. Or maybe they get swept by the Timberwolves. Like I've got nothing for you.
Yeah.
It just,
well, that's a problem.
I need that consistency.
The other thing I'll just keep pointing out, nothing is guaranteed. Like, here they are.
Nope.
Like, you want to guarantee, go 12-4 of the final 16, win 50 games, and you'll be a 6 seed or a 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. The Clippers are just like hanging out, like waiting for you to take
right
them over.
There for them.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could easily be Pacific Division champs. And I know that doesn't mean anything, but
a home series.
Yeah. You probably get a home series. Yeah.
So this is the other thing for me. figure it out. No. It is just as, to me, you say it's on the table that they go win the Pacific Division. And this is where my belief in the Kings comes in, where my lack of belief in them comes in, is you say that, and I'm like, dang, you know what? They could. They could easily pick up 4 games on the Clippers over these next 16, because they both have 16 games left. They could definitely pick up 4 games on the Clippers and win the Pacific Division. But there's an equal part of my brain going, they could go 8-8 in these last 16 and lose 2 playing games. Like, that's as on the table to me right now.
Yeah.
Now it's I will say this, how they played the last 3 games, I've been very, very impressed. Particularly on defense. I think defensively they've been a lot better the last 3 games and consistently good for 48 minutes over those 3 games. Jalen Brunson going off aside. And Trista Crick on the Heat Checker podcast made the case that Jalen Brunson deserves some MVP love.
Yeah.
And he is that level of player. Like, okay, he got loose against you. Stuff happens.
He's backpacked that Knicks team for months.
Yes.
I mean, Julius Randle's been out forever.
Yes. OG Anunoby's missed a bunch of time.
Yeah, he's missed a bunch of time. Like,
carrying him.
Yeah, and they traded away some really good scorers in order to get OG, and Jalen Brunson's had to carry the load.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been really impressive. I don't disagree with that take.
I don't either.
He's not an MVP, but he's played
in
to
that
level.
Yes, and he has that team at a 4 seed despite the adversity. I definitely think he's in the conversation. He's not going to go win it, but he's in the conversation. I think he should be, and that's fair. But that's what I would love to see. Go be that for the next week or 2 weeks, and show me that. And at that point, I will be fully on board with, okay, forget the first 60 plus games, 66 games. Here they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're expecting. They're peaking at the right time, and then we can move forward from there. I just I'm not ready to get there just yet, based on just too many poor performances this year, and too many moments where you've gone, oh, they're turning a corner, and then they don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there aren't any more corners to turn, man. You're in the home stretch.
They're here now. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC coming up at noon today. He is here for the handoff. Kings-Knicks, really good game Saturday night.
It was a good game, man. A good physical battle. Kings didn't shoot the ball particularly well. What I really think that game came down to, honestly, is their superstar kind of brought them home and the Kings superstar didn't. And that's not to blame the game on them. But that's just how it goes sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes, like, there's going to be a game probably this week where Fox brings the Kings home and, I don't know, Paolo Banchero doesn't or something like that. Like, this is what happens from time to time, and he couldn't hit shots towards the end of the game. I thought they had opportunities to win that game. Even with me saying, like, Brunson brought him home and stuff like that, you guys saw probably in, you know, off the top of my head, 5 of their final 8 possessions, the Knicks missed. Like, they kept giving them opportunities. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't bring it home. That's all it was.
Yeah, the Kings didn't score in like the final 2 minutes and something.
Mm-hmm. They had chances.
Dude, I went into that game, and we talked about this earlier, James and I did, but I went into that game going, Fox to me is a 1A. Mm-hmm. Fox can be the number one guy on a title team. Mm-hmm. I think if he doesn't get hurt, I think they win that series last year against Golden State. And based on what we've seen against him with L.A., maybe they go beat L.A. too, mm-hmm. and you're in the conference final. I did not think that about Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched a kind of weird amount of Knicks this year, mm-hmm. and he's always impressive.
Yeah,
this is not. But I went, 6 foot guy, plays below the rim. I just, But dude, what he does creating space and creating angles and getting tough shots off.
He's
a 1A.
He's a certified bucket.
He's a certified bucket.
I don't know if I put him in 1A category just yet. He's a bucket, though.
He's tough.
Yeah.
It reminds me of his game is a lot like Isaiah Thomas. Mm. Just crafty, gets to his spots quick enough to get there, strong enough to clear space, mm-hmm. and you know, his footwork is just unmatched. You're just like super impressed. The way he's able to use his shoulders to clear space for himself, that's something that Isaiah uses. It's something that I've like Davion Mitchell needs to learn. Mm. Like how do you use your shoulders to clear enough space so you can, you know, go to the basket.
Right.
And it's something that he's been able to do. He's got
the angles down to a science at this point.
Yeah. He does.
He knows his angles. He knows exactly what he needs to get his shot off every single time, anywhere on the floor, man. He's unbelievably impressive. He's so much better than I thought he would be. I knew he was a good ball player, but leaving Dallas and getting his own team, so to speak, he's taking it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The Kings gave different looks, too. You know, they tried Keegan out there. They tried Keon Ellis. They tried De'Aaron Fox. They tried Davion Mitchell. Nothing worked.
Yeah.
Like, that was what was really impressive to me.
Yeah. We haven't taken a look around the scoreboard from last night, so we're going to do that right now with you, Kenny, if that's okay. Did you guys see Victor Wembanyama's line last night?
I did not.
Victor Wembanyama last night in a 122-115 overtime win over the Nets. 33 points, 15 boards, 7 assists,
oof.
7 blocks on 14 of 26 from the field. Come on, man. What are we doing here? He's getting better. He's ridiculous.
He's getting better. Like, he's gotten past the rookie wall that wasn't even that much of a wall for him, and now he's starting to get comfortable with the league.
The scariest thing about Victor Wembanyama for me is not even the numbers. It's not even the improvement. It's not this. It's whenever he does something like that in postgame, he's like, yeah, but we're not winning.
Mm.
None of this. We're not winning. I want to win. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. He's special.
Yeah.
And not just physically, but the physical talents with the skill level, with the mental makeup like you just talked about, Kyle.
Yeah, man.
You don't always see that.
He's a star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a star. The Bucks, 140 points against the Suns, who scored 127. James, we were just talking about this. It feels like the Kings are starting to like, okay, it's not perfect yet, but you see them, especially defensively, they're more locked in. You start to see them play a little bit better, and you can buy that they're starting to play their best basketball here down the stretch. This is what I thought the Suns would be doing.
Mm.
I thought for sure we'd be sitting here at some point going, hey, the Suns have won 9 in a row. Suns very quietly. And they're just not, dude.
No,
I'm not buying them.
They're not.
I can't buy them.
They're not good enough in the regular season. I said on Friday, I'm really curious to see them in a playoff series. If they can get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, through play-in or whatever, if they can get there, I think they can be really dangerous in the playoffs. But night to night, you know, trying to play defense on a nightly basis in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be tough for them. I think that's a play-in team with the combination of what you just talked about mm-hmm. and their schedule. I mean, yesterday, they got a little bit of a gift early because Giannis was ruled out really late,
mm-hmm.
and Bobby Portis go crazy on them.
God, Bobby
Portis had like 33 points or something.
And he hit 5 threes in the first half?
He was killing.
The Suns are 8-8 in their last 16.
I mean, come on, man.
And it's literally like win one, lose two. Lose two, win two. Lose two, win two. Lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one.
Can you imagine?
Straight up 500.
We're so worried about the Kings' inconsistency. Can you imagine if we're doing radio in Phoenix?
After all the
picks they traded with all that, they were supposed to win a title this year.
Mm.
Yeah, we all tried to tell them like they need to settle down. Though.
Yeah,
they were. There's not enough around them yet.
And then at the deadline, they said Royce O'Neal though.
It's tough, right, man. Especially Durant's played 37.3 minutes per game.
Mm. I heard this I think it was the Ringer group chat podcast with Justin Verrier and Rob Mahoney and Big Waz.
Big Waz not a fan of Sabonis.
Not a Sabonis guy. The combination of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker just passed 500 minutes together.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
And Paul George, Kawhi, and James Harden have played over 1,000.
That's saying something with those two.
Yeah,
specifically with Paul and Kawhi. But, I mean, we all saw it coming.
Yep.
We all saw it coming. This is and ironically, that's with one of them being pretty much healthy all year.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, which nobody really expected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had three guys that really couldn't stay healthy for much of their career. You knew this was coming. And when I saw that, I said, they don't have enough around. Like, Grayson Allen's having a great year.
Really good.
But that's not enough.
Nope.
That's not enough. Josh Okogie's not enough.
Nope.
Eric Gordon at 45 years old, like, that's not enough. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah, and Booker has to play 11 of 13 of their final 13 games in order to hit 65.
Do you guys, I know we're running out of time, but do you guys feel the same way that if they can get in, they might be dangerous? It's just
okay,
different.
That was, yeah. Are the Mavs or Suns more dangerous to you?
The Suns.
The Suns?
Suns.
Easily the Suns.
Easily?
Yeah. Mavs aren't very dangerous because they don't play defense.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That was
great shots I've ever
by Kyrie.
Seen.
Yeah. Left-handed, just like
that was one
over
of the great
Jokic.
Game winners.
You know, I'm ready to say that is the greatest shot in Kyrie Irving's career, and we should focus on that.
Well, he's got another better shot.
I think that's
matter
the
fact,
one.
I might pull it up
one.
On YouTube
okay,
right now.
Okay. That's it. That's the only one he's hit.
That's right.
I think you're probably right. I just don't want to mess with KD. I want no parts of KD in a playoff series.
No.
KD and Book might combine for 75 points a night in a playoff.
Bradley Beal has actually been good when he plays this year too. Yeah. Like he's been
solid. He just
good ball player.
Can't stay on the court.
Yeah.
And then the Clippers they lost to the Hawks last night 110-93. And a game that was not even that close.
Mm.
Oh.
It's there. Pacific Division's there for the taking.
You think so? Because what is it, three games now?
Yeah, well, I think three games. Three in the loss column.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
guess kind of that.
I don't know. All right, I'm with that. You play them again.
Yeah, you got them again.
You play them again, so. All right. I haven't really looked at the Clippers' schedule because I figured that was long gone, but I don't know. Right. Now you got me thinking, Kyle.
I think it's there. All right, we got to run. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Kenny Caraway. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. Right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.